Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
I hope you're having a great Saturday, and thank you so much for joining me. We're going to talk about real estate, of course, and the mortgage market, and kind of what's going on in our market. We talked last week, we talked a lot about the actual housing market, but I want to go into a little bit more on the housing market. I actually had ran out of time, so I thought, well, I think I'll go into a little bit more on the housing market. And the information we're going to start with, we're going to talk about, comes from the Metropolitan Indianapolis Board of Realtors, what's called MIBOR. And this is the data for the surrounding, basically the surrounding counties. It's Bartholomew, Boone, Brown, Decatur, Hamilton, Hancock, Hendricks, Jackson, Jennings, Johnson, Madison, Marion, Montgomery, Morgan, Putnam, and Shelby. So maybe more than just the surrounding counties, Marion and the surrounding counties. So a little bit more than that. But it is all of the data that we're looking at, you know, what's going on in the market. So we talked about the median sale price. Again, it was kind of interesting that in the U.S. total, it had gone up 23%, 23 point something percent. But in Indianapolis, month over month, it had gone down 2%. It had gone from 255,000 in May of 2021 to 250,000 median sale price. That's the median sale price to 250,000. That's down 2%. Now, it did go up 14.2% year over year. So from June 2020, the median sale price was 219,000, where our median was 250,000 in June of 2021. So that is up 14%. So we did get some increase year over year, nowhere near the 23.9% that you're going to hear, you know, running around on the news media, that they're going to be wanting to tell you that, you know, how the sky is falling, and you need to watch their show because they're going to tell you how the sky's falling. It's not falling, and it's a mix of properties. Again, I think I told, nationally, $1 million and above homes, it was up 150%, yet the lower priced homes were actually down. I don't remember the exact number, but they were down, you know, like 14%. So that is a big difference. So you just have to, you know, it's not the median price is not actually, you know, what homes are increasing. It's just it tells you the mix. It kind of gives you an idea of the mix and what the average or the median price is. Again, we closed 3,897 homes in June of 2021. That's up 13.8% from May, which was 3,425. So you can see, now this is the big one, the listings have increased. And, you know, we talk about and we hear about how, you know, we have a lack of inventory. This is some good news in that lack of inventory. We had 3,921 homes, new listings on the market in May, and we have 4,357 in June. So that is an increase of 11.1% in listings. That is good. The pending sales we're up 5.6%. So the pending sales in 2021 was 3,910. Now remember, the new listings was 3,921. So we had, you know, 11 listings more than we had sales, pending sales. But in June we had 4,130. So that's 227 homes more listed than it sold. Days on the market about the same. They're about that 14, 15 days. So homes, but what this is all telling us is homes are selling very, very quickly, and they're selling for good money. They're selling for, of course, it's good money. They're selling for, you know, the top dollar right now. So it's a great time to sell your house. It's still a very good time to buy a home. And when you do buy a home, just as an offshoot, You know, a lot of people are not getting inspections or trying to waive the appraisal, which you can't really waive the appraisal. We still have to have it, but maybe, you know, just kind of somewhat disregarding the appraisal. And that's all okay. But the inspection, I would highly recommend you still need an inspection. No matter how good a home looks to you, you just never know what's actually behind the walls, what's under the floors, that type of thing. So you want to have it inspected, and you want to make sure that you're getting, you know, the best home you can. You don't want to end up finding out you need to do, you know, $100,000 worth of work on a house because you didn't have it inspected. So it's just one of those things. You really should have an inspection. I'd highly recommend it. We talked about the new listings. We talked about the pending, the closed sales. You know, all these numbers are really looking good for our market. The cumulative days on market, the 14 days, is an incredible number. We just, our homes are not staying on the market. What does that mean when you're out shopping for a home? What that means is when you go out shopping for a home, this is not a market you can wait and try to decide and look at, you know, 15 homes and take 3 weeks or 4 weeks to make a decision on which home you're going to buy. It's not going to be there. If these good solid homes are selling, the average, this isn't the quick sale. This is the average is 14 days. So you need to, when you go out to buy a home, you really have to, which can be tough, you really have to be ready to make an offer on the house that you see. If it's what you want, you need to make an offer. And these offers can be very tough. And it's, again, why I think it's very important, both on the selling side and the purchasing side, that you have a real estate agent, because you really need somebody who can walk you through this process and make sure, you know, from listing the home or buying the home to the negotiation on anything that happens with the inspection and the negotiation up front and getting you to closing and all those things really does matter. You really do need a top-notch agent. If you want to talk about an agent, or you want to talk about mortgage rates, you want to look at what refinancing a home might look like for you today, or maybe if you want to think about purchasing a home, what a pre-approval, what you could afford, you know, what we would, you know, be able to finance for you, just go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. We can talk, you get the information. You can contact me from there. My phone numbers are there. My email's there. You can contact me directly from the website. So just go there and we'll do what we can, walk through the information and help you out the best that we can. It's really important to me that we talk about your situation, understand your situation, so we can give you the correct information so that you can make an informed decision and make the decision that's best for you. I truly believe that there is no one right decision. You just have to have the information and then you can make the decision that's best for you. I can give guidance. I can give people, you know, some of the basics, but bottom line is I don't know the whole situation and it's not really up to me. It's up to the borrower. It's up to you. And I want to help you. I just want to make sure you have the correct information in a way that you can understand it so that you can make the best decision for you. So the inventory, we've talked about that. There's 2,018 homes on the market as of the end of June. They're selling in very, very quick time. I was going to go through all the different counties, but I don't think we'll do that today. We won't go through the counties. But if anybody wants to know what it is on the counties, just let me know. You can get on my website, contact me, hardworkingmortgageguy.com, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. We can talk about that. I want to talk about what you should do before interest rates rise. And you know, there's a lot, you hear a lot of news out there, and there, I'll tell you right now, it's up in the air when rates are going to go. Right now, the Federal Reserve is buying a tremendous amount of mortgage-backed securities. They bought $25 billion last week. That's about what they've been buying. That's $100 billion a month. And it is keeping our rates low. Even with all the concern over inflation, the Fed's kind of disregarding the inflation. We knew the inflation was going to come, year over year inflation, because the inflation last year through the pandemic, through these, you know, what was it, April, May, June, July, I think even August, they were very, very low, zero to below zero inflation numbers. And we know they're going to be higher than that. Those zeros are going to drop off. The new ones are going to kick on. And all of a sudden, we're going to have high inflation. So we expected that. And when the numbers first came out for June, the market kind of went crazy. We did get a little increase in interest rates because of it. And then, with a couple days, rates were back where they were. And we're still at nearly record low interest rates. We're going to talk more about the interest rates and whether you should refinance or buy a home before rates rise after the break.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you again for joining me. I appreciate it very much. So we're talking about what you should do before interest rates rise. Well, you know, in today's real estate market, mortgage interest rates are near record lows. We've talked about that. They are near record lows. And if you've been in your current home for several years and you haven't refinanced lately, even if it's – and lately, it just depends on when you did it, what your rates are. There's a good chance you have a mortgage with an interest rate higher than today's average. And there are some options you should consider if you want to take advantage of today's current low rates before they rise. And they could rise at any time. We think that it's going to be low for a little while, but you just don't know. Things change very quickly. So let's say you want to sell and move up or downsize. Many of today's homeowners are rethinking what they need in a home and redefining what their dream home means. What does it mean? For some, you know, especially since a lot of people have been remote working, has brought about, you know, the need for additional space, different type of living environment. For others, maybe it's moving to a lower cost of living area because, you know, again, pandemic has made people change their thinking, or maybe you need to downsize. That also could be a great option for you. If you're considering any of these, there may not be a better time to move. And here's why. I'm looking at the interest rates by decade, and I want to talk about those by decade. The interest rates by decade: in the 70s, interest rates averaged almost 9%. In the 80s, almost 13%. In the 90s, a little over 8%. In the 2000s, a little bit over 6%. In the 2010s, and just over 4%. And right now, we're a percent or so lower than that. So interest rates are much lower than they've been since the 70s. Now, through 2010 through 2019, we still had some pretty good rates, but they're still very, very low. And experts are forecasting them to rise over the next few years. Now, maybe not right away, and it may take a little while, but they are expecting them to rise. And you would think if we're at the lowest rates we've ever had, and over the last decade, we've probably averaged in the 8 to 9% range, that we're probably going to see rates go up at some point. That, you know, you just got to think that they're going to. So it is a good time to take advantage of the lower rates if there's any reason that you want to think about moving. Now, there also, because of the low rates, there's something called buying power. So the purchasing buying power. To give you an example, if you were looking at a home loan amount, let's say you were looking at, we'll just use what the average was, we'll just use 270, and you were looking back, let's say back in the 2000s. 210s, when the rates were around, you know, a little over 4%, you'd be looking at a principal and interest payment in that range of about $1,289, principal and interest, no taxes and insurance. Today, you'd be looking at $1,138 approximately. So that's $150 less on the exact same loan amount. That's $150 less per month on the exact same loan amount. That makes a huge difference in buying power for people. And what it means is either you can have a lower payment than you would have had, or you can buy more home. You can buy, you know, you can finance more. And we qualify, when you do a mortgage, we qualify you to the payment. Now, it's the principal, interest, taxes, insurance, what we call full housing expense, including homeowners association dues, all those things. But you qualify, you know, for a higher dollar amount because the rates are lower. That's another piece of it that helps a lot. So when when mortgage rates rise, obviously so do the monthly payments. Okay. Even the smallest increase in rates can make a difference in your monthly mortgage payment. Even an increase of 0.25% can make as much as, you know, almost $40 a month in a payment. And, you know, so it doesn't take a lot to change your mortgage payment. So while they're low, it's a really good time. And as interest rates rise, you'll need to look at a lower priced home to get the same payment. So your payment's going to go up, or you're going to have to look at a lower priced home because the interest rate went up. So the interest rate matters, and this matters not only as you're doing this, but as you hear the media out there telling you how bad it is, how the sky is falling. Just remember, it's not falling. The market is good with interest rates this low. It just means you can, you know, even an increase in the price doesn't hurt you anywhere near. It doesn't make homes unaffordable. You know, we never want to spend $40 more a month than we have to, but it's only $40 ultimately. So, and prices going up is actually a good thing. As long as they aren't going up too fast, too much. It's a good thing, especially once you have a house and your house is going up. The other thing is, you look at that, if you don't have a home and you're renting, the rents are really going up. I was talking to a guy last week, and he was telling me that he got into an apartment, and he was really lucky because he signed it right before they went crazy. And the same apartment that he has today, and this is a nice apartment, it's up like $300 a month from people who rent it today to when he rented it. And he said he was really glad he did an 18-month lease, and it's much less expensive than other people are paying today for the exact same apartment. So he's like, glad he did that. It also made it affordable. He doesn't know if he could afford that extra $300 a month. And that, you know, again, you look at rents, you look at what it costs to buy a home. Even though the prices have increased on a home, it actually has not increased payment-wise anywhere near what rents have increased. So it is well worth looking at buying a home if you're renting. Makes a lot of sense. And if you are looking at that, again, the best thing to do, go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. My contact information is there. Get a hold of me from there, and we will talk about your situation and see how, you know, what we can do to help you move into a house. So no matter what or whether you're looking to make a move up or downsize a home, you know, that better suits your needs, now's the time with these rates the way they are. You know, we're at record lows, so we don't really foresee that rates are going to go much lower, if they go lower at all. But we do know and feel very confident at some point they're going to go up. And with the increase in houses, especially buying a house, this is the time, because they're increasing at such a fast pace that with the low rates, you just, you know, next month you're going to pay a little bit more, and the next month you're going to pay a little bit more. So it is a good time to go ahead and move and make that decision to buy a home, or if you have a home, refinance at the lower rates so you can save monthly, or maybe you can pay off some debt, which can be a very big deal. Or maybe you want to stay in the home and you want to do some home improvements. With the increase in the values, that's the other thing that the increase in values have done with the appreciation. It has allowed some people to get out of mortgage insurance. It's allowed some people to be able to borrow additional money and do some of the work they wanted to do on their home. And when you're doing it at such a low interest rate, it can really make a lot of sense. And, you know, whether it's because you're going to enjoy the house more, generally when you do things to your house, it's going to increase the value. I can tell you, for us, we're redoing our home right now. We're doing flooring and kitchen. And although it's a very big hassle to live through, we know it's going to be increase the value of our home, and it's going to increase the livability and enjoyment we have of the home. So once it's done, it's going to be great, but it is a big pain right now, I can tell you. So if you are in that, or you do go down that road, just know you have to live through it, but it's, you know, once you're through it, it's going to get a lot better. At least that's what I keep telling myself. Experts agree options are important for buyers. It's really important. They're talking about the market and everything else. I just wanted to read some of the quotes because I think it's important that we talk about this market. It looks like existing inventory is starting to inch up, which is a good news for housing market parched for more supply. This is by the deputy chief economist of First American. And that's And that, you know, with our short supply of inventory, it really is helping, as we talked about, seeing some of the supply increase. We aren't seeing huge supply increase here in Indianapolis and the surrounding area, but it is, we are starting to see an increase. Here's Danielle Hale, she's the chief economist for Realtor.com. The influx of new sellers over the last couple of months has helped slow price gains and given buyers hope that they will be able to find a home that is a good fit. Again, saying we're getting that the inventory is increasing, which is it's so low that we need a little bit more inventory. And this is from Lawrence Yun. He's the chief economist for NAR, which is the National Association of Realtors. And as the inventory is beginning to pick up ever so modestly, we are still facing a housing shortage, but we may have turned the corner. Okay, now this, I wanted to go over this because there's so much out there about a housing bubble. And I'm sure that you've probably heard about a housing bubble, heard people saying we're in a housing bubble. And it just doesn't, to me, make any sense whatsoever. When we had the bubble, and I think that's why we talk about it, because we all still remember it. It was in 2008. We had the bubble. We had prices not increasing. They had increased, but they stopped increasing. We had houses on the market for six months, 9 months. We had a huge supply of homes and not a lack of inventory. None of it adds up to what we're seeing today. When you see what we're at, and we had a lot of people who, when they couldn't sell their home for what they owed on it. We've never had more equity in our homes in the U.S. as we do today. It's just, it is, I've seen the statistics. I don't have them in front of me, but I can tell you it's huge. We have a tremendous amount of home or equity in our homes today. And that is a huge, huge deal for us. And it makes it really, when, if you think about it, you have a home and you owe $300,000 on it and you can sell it for $250,000 and you get transferred. What are you going to do? A lot of people gave the home back to the bank. That was 2008. Today, you have a home and you get transferred. You owe $300,000. The home's worth $400,000. You're going to give it back to the bank or you're going to sell it? Oh, and by the way, they sell in 14 days. I mean, does that make sense? It's amazing to me how people look at it and they think that there's some bubble. There's just no way. You have equity in your house. The house sells very quickly, so it's not hard to get to. So there would be no reason at all to hand it back to the bank and have a foreclosure. You're going to sell it. And not everybody maybe, but the vast majority of people, that's what they're going to do.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
You know, in this market, you know, one of the things that when you're going out and you're looking at homes and you're wanting to buy something, it's really important that you have some additional funds to, if the appraisal happens to come back below the value, if you offered more than the list price on the home. And a lot of buyers are agreeing to cover a certain amount of that, the differential between the appraised value and the sale price. And so this question came from Bob and Tammy, I've probably been asked this more in the last 4 months than I've ever been in my entire career in the mortgage industry. And that is, does a down payment or do the funds used to buy the home have to be my own funds? And the reality is that no, but they have, if they're gift funds, which gift funds are allowable, they have to be from a family member. They just can't be from, they can't be from the seller. They can't be from the realtor. They can't be from, you know, somebody you just happen to know. They have to be from somebody, they have to be from a relative, and we have to prove some of that. That's what has to happen. So this question was, do they have to have, you know, all their own funds? No, they don't. So what I've had a lot of people do is they have the down payment. If the house appraises it at what they purchased it for, they have the down payment, they have the funds for closing, they have the reserves that they need, everything's good, and they can close on the home. But if the house appraises for, let's say the house was listed at 200, they paid 210, and the house appraises at 205. What happens in a mortgage is the value now is 205. And a lot of these purchase agreements that people are agreeing to pay $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 over list or over the appraised value. So if it appraised for $205 and they agreed to pay $5,000 over, up they'd cover up to $5,000 over, that's $210. They would have to come up with that additional $5,000. Those funds, or even the down payment funds in those funds, can come from a gift from a relative. Or it could come, you could even get it out of a, if your 401k allows it, you can get it out of the 401k. There are ways to get that money. But this specifically, they wanted to know if it had to be from their own funds. And the reality is it does not have to be from their own funds, but it does have to be from funds that we can prove, and they have to be from a relative. So that is definitely something that can be done if it needs to be. I also want to talk about another issue that we keep seeing in the market. It just seems to be with the way that the pricing is going when you're making an offer on a house. So you go and you make an offer, and just like we talked about, many people are offering more than the list price on the home. And so it has been causing some appraisal issues. And until the sales catch up, so what happens is when you close on that home, this home we just talked about, if it was 210 and they closed at 210,000, once that closes, that becomes a comp for everybody else in that area. And now the appraisers have a comp to use. But until that happens, they don't have that comp to use. And most of the homes, when a real estate agent helps you price out your home and say, okay, you know, this is what we think we should list it for, and they help you go through that, they're coming up with it based on comparable homes in the neighborhood. Homes that compare to yours that have sold recently that are fairly comparative to your home, meaning same size, same amount of bedrooms, basement or no basement, you know, number of garages. And then if it isn't exact, those things have adjustments. They adjust it a little bit. So yours is a 3-bedroom. That one was a 4-bedroom. They're going to adjust it a little bit for that. That one doesn't have a basement. Yours does. They're going to adjust yours up a little bit for that. So there's going to be adjustments made. But they're gonna come up with a value of that property that they think is a good value of the property based on the comps. And that's very similar to what an appraiser does. Now, an appraiser is under a little bit different, there's different influences than the real estate agent. The real estate agent, if you're listing your home and you're talking to them, they want your listing, and they're gonna try to get it at the right price. But I mean, who knows for sure? And so if you want to ask $5,000 or $10,000 more than they think it will sell for, you know, unless they just believe it's just totally out of the market, then many of them will take it because they know that they don't know that you can get somebody, especially in this market, that's going to pay that. So why not? But the appraiser comes in, and the appraiser is the influence that they have on a purchase. The only influence they have is we have to give them the purchase agreement. So they're going to have the purchase price of that home. And with the purchase price of the home is how they're going to work to come up with value. But until if yours is the first purchase to sell, the first home to sell in that price range in your neighborhood, and there's no comps in order to get that, then you're going to see, then you're very likely going to have some issues with the appraisal. And that's where in this market, I've never seen it before, even back in the 80s when we kind of went through the same situation, not quite as much of a seller's market, but where people are actually covering that overage, they're not renegotiating the price, they're doing that in the purchase agreement, and then that makes it much easier to renegotiate the price. But just understand, if you pay or you list your house and they pay over list price, there's a chance the value is not going to come in on the appraisal. Appreciate it very much that you joined me today. And if you would like to get a hold of me, go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Give me a call or send me an email or contact me from my website. Again, I appreciate it very much. I hope you have a great weekend.